Thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
Acts chapter 13 and verse 22 said, "He raised up for them David as king. And God said of him, 'I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will.'" What a powerful statement about David. In another spot in Acts, it says that David, after he served his generation according to the will of God, just fell asleep. So after served God according to his will, in his generation, let it be said of every one of us, this kind of testimony. But you know, this particular statement about David, ever since we began this series on royalty, it was kind of running through my mind and my heart. A man after God's own heart. What does that mean? We have talked about other approaches to what it means to be of royalty, to be of a royal family. We are, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you become part of the royal family. And we have a heritage, and we have a position that God has called us into. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 6 says that we are kings and priests unto our God. Revelation chapter 5, verse 10 and 11 says that he has redeemed us, and he has made us kings and priests unto our God, and adds one more part, and we shall reign on this earth. Talks about a future event, and that's the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he will set up his kingdom and reign over all the earth for 1,000 years, the millennial reign of Christ. And we shall reign with him. So in the meantime, say meantime. That's now. In the meantime, before Jesus Christ comes back, we're training for reigning. Can you say that with me? Training for reigning. We're going through a training process. God, through his word, through his spirit, as he directs our lives, is training us. What does it mean to reign? What does it mean to be part of royalty? What does it mean to represent Christ? How do I properly represent Christ? And of course, we know that takes a lot of work of God's spirit in our lives, but that's exactly what's happening right now. So what we've been doing is we've been looking at two kings, King Saul. And this is not an exhaustive study of his life, neither is it a study of David's life. But we're picking some things about Saul's life and some things about David's life that will help us to understand what it means to be royalty, what it means to reign as a king. What is God trying to accomplish in our lives? I want to direct our thoughts to that phrase, though, today, what it means to be a man after God's own heart. Why did God choose David? What was he saying? What was Paul saying when he reflected on this? If you go back to 1 Samuel chapter 13, it's where we find the phrase, "The Lord has sought for him, for himself, a man after his own heart." Sought for him a man, for himself. Someone that would put God as the center of everything in his life. Yet, it was the same David who committed adultery with Bathsheba, breaking commandments 7, 8, and 10. It was the same man who lied about it, breaking commandment number 9. And then he compounds it all by murdering Uriah, Bathsheba's husband, breaking commandment number 6. 5 out of 10 commandments David broke by that one incident, when you think about it. And yet, God says David was a man after his own heart. How can something like that be? Well, let's talk about it a little bit today. David is included in what we call the Hall of Fame in that faith chapter, Hebrews chapter 11. He's part of the genealogy of Jesus himself. It was through David's seed that Jesus, the Messiah, would be raised up. So, what is it about David that makes him a man after God's own heart? Why did God choose David? Let me answer that with 6 things, if you will. You can write these down as they come up and make your own comments under them. First of all, I think what was pleasing to God about David is that David had a high opinion of God. David had a high opinion of God. I want you to think that about that for a moment, because this really matters. What is your opinion of God? How do you see God? Do you see him in all his splendor and glory and majesty? Do you see him as standing alone? No one can equal him? Do you see him that he has all power, all sovereignty over all things? What is your opinion of? How do you view God? Because it has a lot to do with how you live your life. How much trust you'll have in God is based on your opinion of God. David had a high opinion of God. He admired God. If you read David's life from his young childhood, growing up, taking care of the sheep, all the way to the throne, David adored God. He was in awe of God. And he openly spoke of it. He wasn't ashamed to speak of it. He wasn't ashamed to proclaim it before his family or before all of his people. He had a reverence for God. I think David is a great example of what kind of opinion we should have for God. He had a high regard for God, that he put God before any self-interest. I mean, God was above all of that. Now, because of his high opinion of God, he trusted God. Now, I see it like this. Based on your opinion of God is how much trust you'll have in God. If you have a low opinion of God, you're not going to trust him very much. You're not going to believe that he can do anything for you. You can't believe that he's going to answer your prayers, because your opinion of God is somewhat maybe on the level of, you know, something other than what it should be. But the higher your opinion of God, the higher your trust factor with God. If you see God as the one who can make it all happen, then you're going to trust him. David trusted God in all situations. Because of his trust in God, his problems with Saul, what did he say about it? We talked about it last week. He said, listen, let God take care of Saul. I don't have to take matters into my own hand. I don't have to protect my reputation. I don't have to do any of that, because I trust that God will work it out. How much do you trust God? It really is an indicator what your opinion of God is. I think if I walked away with anything from this particular study was, God, I don't trust you enough, therefore I must not have a high opinion of you. Now, I stand in awe of God, but I want the Holy Spirit to do the kind of work in my life that God stands out above everything in my life. Psalm 3, Lord, how many are my foes? How many rise up against me? Many are saying of me, God will not deliver him. But you, Lord, are a shield around me, my glory, the one who lifts my head high. I call out to the Lord and he answers me from his holy mountain. I lie down and sleep. I wake again because the Lord sustains me. I will not fear, though tens of thousands assail me on every side. David said, I can lay my head on that pillow at night and I know the Lord's going to take care of all my needs tomorrow. He had a high opinion of God. Do I live my life with that kind of trust? Second of all, God was at the center of David's life. And it's obvious. Everything else orbited around the fact that God was the center. So every decision, he prioritized his life, every thought that went through his mind, it would be countered by, first of all, is God in the center of that thought? Is God in the center of the decision I'm about to make? Psalm 5 says, listen to my words, Lord. Consider my lament. Hear my cry for help, my King and my God, for to you I pray. In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and wait expectantly. God was the center of David's life. Thirdly, David put his life on the line for God's reputation. David put his life on the line for God's reputation. When David was first confronted with this opportunity to stand up for God, it was the battle between Israel and the Philistines. You know the story well, Goliath, the great giant. You see, when Goliath came out to challenge the armies of Israel, David just happened to be there bringing food to his brothers, to the rest of his family. And when he heard this, something got a hold of his heart. It wasn't that he wanted to make a name for himself. It wasn't because he thought, well, this will make a good thing on my resume when I apply for king of this country. It wasn't anything like that. It was something that got a hold of his heart because where his heart, a God after God's heart, his own heart, but something in there. He wanted to protect the reputation of God. He put his life on the line for it. That's what motivated him. Goliath is not to make a name for himself, but David couldn't stand by. Look what he said. He said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" Reflect on that just for a moment. He put his life on the line. It wasn't something that would serve him at all. He wasn't even thinking of that. Every day we have an opportunity to stand up and do what is right for God. Because there are a lot of people trying to defy his name. David was one that stood up. Fourthly, David was determined. Say the word determined. He was determined to learn how to do things God's way. He was determined how to do things God's way. It wasn't an afterthought. It wasn't an option to do it God's way. It wasn't sometimes, it wasn't when it was convenient, but all the time, David longed to do it God's way. I mean, I could picture David almost daily just getting up and saying, "God, I've got a lot of decisions to make today. I've got a lot of choices. I've got a lot of ways that I can go. Because I'm king, I can do this or I can do that. People are going to listen to what I say. But Lord, I have no desire to live my life according to my own ways. Lord, I'm determined to know your statutes. I'm determined to know your word. I want to know it in such a way that it directs every thought, every decision, every choice that I make. Lord, I want your word to direct me." How determined are you to know God's way to do all things that you do? David was determined. Psalm 119. Sometime you ought to memorize it. It'll take until Jesus comes back. But Psalm 119 has a lot of verses that deal with the Word of God. But listen to some of them, what David was saying. "Oh, that my actions," listen carefully to this, verse 5. "Oh, that my actions would consistently reflect your decrees." Every action, David said, I want it to reflect the way you would do it. Verse 11 said, "I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." In other words, David took the step that before the temptation, he prepared himself that when a temptation would come his way, that God's ways were already sealed in his heart and he knew what decision to make. Verse 15, "I will study your commandments and reflect on your ways." Verse 18, "Open my eyes to see the wonderful truths in your instructions." Verse 26, "I told you my plans, and you answered. Now teach me your decrees." You know, that's a position. Lord, here's the way I think it should be done. Here are my plans in handling this, but Lord, I want you to teach me, what are your ways? What are your instructions concerning this? Verse 35, "Make me walk along the paths of your commands, for that is where my happiness is found." David discovered by doing it God's way, that's where true happiness was. Verse 37, "Turn my eyes," listen to this, "from worthless things and give me life through your word." Verse 47, "How I delight in your commands, how I love them." Verse 93, "I will never forget your commandments, for by them you give me life." Verse 97, "Oh, how I love your instructions. I think about them all day long." Verse 105, "Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path." And verse 111, "Your laws are my treasure. They are my heart's delight." This is God's word? How much do you treasure it? How determined are you to know? God, I want to know, how do you handle conflict? How do I be a good husband? How do I be a good wife? How do I be a good employer and employee? Lord, how should I direct my business? Listen, David was determined to know God's ways. And I'm challenged in my own life to determine, how determined am I to know God's ways over my ways? It's a great challenge. Psalm 1, blessed is the man or woman whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its seasons, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. When you're that determined, you're going to be a fruitful tree. It's going to bring forth fruit all the time. Number 5, David loved to praise God. There was something about David, it comes out. He loved to praise God. Psalm 119 again, 164 says, David loved to praise God. 7 times a day I praise you. You know, why is praise? What would make someone a man after God's own heart? Simply the fact that he loved to praise God. Because praise is a reflection of your heart's attitude. It's thankful. Praise is being thankful, being grateful. Praise is just acknowledging who God is. Praise is taking yourself out of the situation and replacing it with God. You know, praise does numerous things in our life. And I think David learned the value of praise, and therefore he praised God continually. Psalm 104:33 says, I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have any being. And lastly, certainly a very important one, is probably one that I started with, but I listed it as the last one because I wanted us to talk about it a little bit. David was quick to repent. David was quick to repent. Yes? David fell. David made his mistakes. David sinned. We all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible tells us that if we say we have no sin, we're only fooling ourselves in 1 John. But if we're open and repentant in our heart, God is faithful and just to forgive us, lift us back up again, and set us on our course. David reflects this in Psalm 51. Listen to this. Have mercy on me. I acknowledge my sins against you. You only have I sinned. You desire truth on the, listen to this, inward parts. God's not so much interested in what the outward appearance is. Man looks to the out, God looks to the heart. God knows in our heart that if we really desire to be free and clean before God, restore to me, David said, the joy of my salvation. You know, something happens when we sin. Something happens when you hold on to that sin. Something happens when you try to cover it up and you try to fool, you're only fooling yourself. But what happens? It robs you of the joy of what God has provided for you, and that's salvation. Setting us free so that we might live free. Let me take a moment. I just want you to bow your heads just for a moment. And I've got to read over these 6 things again. But I want you to take a moment. We've kind of planned it this way so that we would have some reflective time. Time to meditate and really ask ourselves the question, because I don't think God's requiring for us to resolve it right now. But the least we could do today in the presence of God and because of His Spirit here with us is at least say, God, that's what I want in my life. What is your opinion of God? When you think about God, is your regard for God, I mean, way up there? When you see God as the all-sufficient, almighty, all-powerful, all-providing, all-merciful, all-just, all-loving, all-kind, sovereign over all things, There's nothing in this world or in any other world, below or above, that is equal to the God that we serve, creator of heaven and earth. God made everything out of nothing. There's no beginning, there's no end to God. He simply exists. There's no argument that can stand up to the fact that he is God. What's your regard for God today? Well, it'll have a lot to do with your trust. Is God the center of your life? Can you honestly say that you haven't just come along and then added God to everything else in your life, but you really have turned around? You've taken your focus off every other distraction and you have centered in and said, God, you're my all in all now. God's reputation, not our own interest, not our own reputation, not what will I get out of this, but the very fact that he is God, that we will stand up for him and do what is right. How determined are we to learn to do things God's ways? Oh, Lord, help us. Lord, help us to realize, Lord, you've gifted us, you've talented us, you've given us a mind, you've given us the ability even to be creative, because, Lord, we're made in your image and likeness, but, Lord, we're not you. And your ways and your thoughts are so much higher than ours. Lord, we want to be determined. Help us, Lord, to have a greater determination to seek out your way in making every decision and living our life, making for a healthy marriage, healthy family, healthy work atmosphere, healthy ministry that we have with the family of God. Lord, we want to be determined. Lord, teach me how to praise you. Lord, remind me on a daily basis. Early in the morning, Lord, let us praise you. Lord, early and throughout the day, Lord, our thoughts go to you, giving you thanks, giving you praise for who you are. Not necessarily what you're going to do for us, but just because of who you are, we want to praise you. We want to thank you. Lord, let our lips reflect what's in our heart in giving you thanks. And Lord, soften our hearts. Soften our hearts, Lord, to anything that might want to invade and, Lord, draw us away from you or cause a wedge to be put there. Lord, from any sin, Lord, keep us from these temptations. Lord, help us, Lord, in the moment of temptation, have a soft heart and be ready to repent and be ready to surrender to you, acknowledging God when we do fall, realizing you're quick to forgive. Lord, I know these things are only part of what you probably saw in David, but Lord, I pray that you will see it in every one of us who call upon your name. Lord, because truly we want it to be said of us that we are a man or a woman after your heart.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.